And when I had to memorize that for a test, I could not do that. Now, you tell me stories, I can remember the stories. But you put a timeline in front of me and ask me to memorize that timeline, that's not something that I can do. I can remember maybe 2 dates out of the 15, which gets you a failing grade every time, okay? There's no consolation prize for 2 out of 15. But I remember that winter of 1989, and we all assembled as a family for Christmas. And we were in Springfield, Missouri, and that's where all of my relatives and stuff are originally from. And so we're all there. And I don't know if you remember that winter or not, but I looked it up on record, and I was like, yep, that's exactly what I remember it being. In 1989, over Christmas, December 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, it's the all-time record low for Springfield, Missouri, at any point in time. Cleveland even experienced one of its all-time records for that day. I think it was December 23rd. But Springfield, Missouri was actually colder than Cleveland, believe it or not. It was minus 15, minus 16, and minus 17. And I will never forget how cold that was, especially for us. I mean, we weren't used to that type of weather. And I remember being out at my Uncle Bob and Aunt Pam's farm. They had cows and everything. And so we had to go out there to the ponds. Those of you that grew up on farms and stuff, you know what's about to have to happen. What do the cows got to have? They not only have to have grass, they've got to have water, right? So those of you who grew up on farms know what's about to happen. We got to go out there and bust the ice. You ever been out to bust the ice when it's minus 15? It doesn't work real well. As a matter of fact, we finally ended up having to take a chainsaw and sawing our way through the ice, and the cows would like huddle around you, and just as soon as you cut the ice open, they would quickly get there to take a drink, because within a matter of minutes, and I'm talking minutes, it would be frozen again, and we would have to bust the ice. I mean, it was miserable. But one of the other things that happens with our family every single Christmas time is my grandmother makes fried pies. Now, I'm not talking about your Dolly Madison fried pies. I don't know what that stuff is. That stuff has a shelf life of like 40 years, okay? That's not a fried pie. And don't tell me to go somewhere in Cleveland because they've got great fried pies. They're nothing like what my grandmother makes. They're the best in the world. But that year, even though my grandmother usually made about 30 or 40 of these things, which take a long time, I found out later on, she didn't make any that year. And we all showed up ready for the fried pies. And I was looking around her house, and I see the fudge that she's made and all this other stuff. And I look at my dad, and I go, I'm not seeing the fried pies anywhere. He's like, oh, yeah, Grandma made them. She didn't make them that year. My cousin walks in, Trisha, and she looks at me, and she goes, I can't find the fried pies. And I was like, I don't think Grandma made them this year. And she's like, no fried pies. That's what we always have. And my grandmother and I sat down and I said, hey, Grandma, I noticed, and she goes, I know what you're going to say. I'm just getting up there in age and I just couldn't do all of them. It takes a long time and everything. So I said, oh, that's fine. That's fine. It's no big deal. Well, then the rest of the family started going to her, hey, where's the fried pies? But well, after you have 20 people, 20 family members come to you asking you where the fried pies are, you know, you get a little guilty, a little self-conscious. So after it was all over with, she wrote me a poem, and I will never forget the poem. And the poem went like this. She said, in 1989, the problems weather-wise were nothing compared to no fried pies. And I never forgot that quote. I never forgot that poem that she wrote to me. I was in college at the time, and I still remind her about that to this day, and she just laughs about it. And I remember how frigid the winter was, but I remember we didn't have any fried pies. And now that the baton has kind of been passed on because nobody else wants to do the fried pies because they take for forever, so guess who does the fried pies now? That's right. Sherry and Alex do the fried pies now. And whenever we fly to Springfield, my backpack is full of fried pies. So it was great when we went through security last year and we got the extra security thing. And they open up, they pull out this container. And he looks at it and I'm like, they're fried pies. And he's like, okay. And there we had this huge container of fried pies because we didn't want to put it underneath. I was afraid they would open it up and be like, hey, free fried pies for everybody, you know, and you get there, you don't have anything. But we have those remembrances, don't we? The Lord's Supper is a way to remember back, to reflect back and say, what has God done? Maybe you've got some God moments in your life. Maybe it was when you prayed to receive Christ and you decided to follow Christ. Maybe for some of you, it was when you were baptized. Maybe for some of you, it was when a loved one that you prayed for prayed to receive Christ, and you're like, man, it was a great God moment. Some of you sitting in this room maybe got a mailer from Gateway, and you decided, you know, I probably need to go to church. And it was a God moment because you were like, wow, man, this helped me change. This helped me become the person that I am now. Maybe for some of you, I know that some of you sitting in this room got a little card and a packet of gum. We would do that on the streets of downtown and just hand out free gum and a little bitty card. And you look back now and you realize, wow, that was kind of a God moment, that God kind of interrupted my life. And you kind of look back at that and you go, wow, that was a cool moment. That was a great deal. And the Lord's Supper, the communion table, is kind of one of those things to look back on. And I kind of live in this tension, as I alluded to earlier, of do I celebrate or do I reflect or what do I do? What am I supposed to do at that point? Am I supposed to be real quiet? Am I supposed to be real happy? Am I supposed to be sad? And you know what I think God set up for us? He wants us to live in that tension. I think it's a good thing to reflect back and say, wow, this was a crucial time that Christ knew that he was moments away from this terrible thing. But at the same time, it's a rejoicing of what he did for us. And I think as believers, a lot of times we want to either be real celebrative or real reflectional, and we're supposed to do one or the other. And I want you to know, I think God sometimes wants us to live in that tension. That within that tension is where he is, that this is a time of celebration, but it's also a time to reflect. That it's a time to say, wow, look at what Christ did for us on the cross, and look what now then that we have because of him. But at the same time, look at what he went through, and look at the price that he paid. And I think it's good to live in that tension and to be excited with our hearts, but at the same time realizing what he's accomplished for us. And the last thing is this, the third thing, is to look ahead, okay? To look ahead, because that's really the celebration. Did you notice what Christ said? He said, I will not taste of this wine, I will not drink of wine again until in the new kingdom. Do you know what he's referring to there? What he's referring to is this, that when he returns and he brings all the believers back with him, and at that point, and he pulls it out, he's going to pull out the largest communion table, largest piece of bread, largest vat of wine that you've ever seen in your life, and he's going to serve it there. And don't you know that's going to be a great time of celebration? As a matter of fact, Jews to this day, those that are very, very committed, and they know that this was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, okay, the Feast of the Passover was taking place, this is what they will do in the Passover supper, okay? They will say, if they are not in Jerusalem, okay? Let's say that they're anywhere else in the world, but they're celebrating the Feast of the Passover. At this point in time, they would raise their cup, and they would say, next time in Jerusalem. And then they would drink from that cup. And as followers of Christ, I think it's good and healthy to think in our minds that after we take the communion, you know, once we take that juice and that bread and that we take it to our lips, that maybe in our hearts and in our minds we go, you know, next time with Christ. Maybe next time will be when Christ serves us communion. I don't know where you came from this morning. I don't know what your background is. I don't know whether you're, you know, a believer or not, or maybe you're still checking it out, and that's fine. I want to be sensitive to that this morning. I don't want to put anybody on the spotlight, but we're going to take communion this morning. We're going to watch a video here in a minute. Then Dylan's going to come up and lead us in a song. And in that first verse of the song, I want you just to be watching the words on the screen. And part of that hymn talks about prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the one I love, okay? And I think a lot of us would admit, man, boy, that's sometimes me. I want to love God, but then I just kind of wander. And maybe you just want to use that as a time of reflection. After that verse ends, I want to ask everyone just to bow their heads, close their eyes. Dylan will still continue playing. And when you feel comfortable, and if you feel led, maybe this will be your first response to following Christ. If you don't feel like that, man, I'm just not there yet, that's fine. Just remain seated because I'm going to have everyone bow their heads and close their eyes. If you need to slip out from where you are, people will let you by. I'm going to ask you to walk down front. You can take a piece of the bread there and the juice and partake of the Lord's Supper and then return to your seat. Nobody's going to know if you have or haven't. There may be a line. That's fine. You can wait. Don't feel like you got to wait for somebody to finish and then get up. You can go ahead and make a line. And then once you take of that, you can go back to your seat. And I would just ask everyone just to be in a spirit of prayer with your eyes closed and your head bowed. If you're ready to take of the Lord's Supper, I'll be up here and help you if you need any help. And this has always been a hymn that's always meant a lot to me because I think that the hymn writer really grasp where my heart is, that, boy, I really want to follow after God, but, boy, I sure am prone to wander, just kind of get away, all right? So watch on the screen then.
Oh, to grace I'll greet undead, deeply unconstrained to me. Lift thy goodness like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. And seal it, sealing for thy courts of love. Every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Names of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount on thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I home by thy good measure, save me to arrive at home. As Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, he interposed his precious blood. And dead, daily I'm constrained to be. let thy goodness like a feather bind my wandering heart to thee. I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I'm prone to leave the God I love. Is my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Of mercy never ceasing, and call for songs of loudest praise, and teach me some melodious song sung by flaming tongues above. Is the mountain fixed upon it, a mountain of thy redeeming love? Praise the mountain fixed upon it, a mountain thy redeeming love.
Bow here for prayer for just a minute, and I'm going to let the band not have to play so that they can take part in Communion Lord's Supper, because I know sometimes those are the ones that get left out. So if there's anybody else that was helping us that missed out, I've got that up here. So anyway, so let's bow for prayer. That'll give these guys a moment to get a chance to take of it this morning. Father, we thank you so much, and it's just kind of nice to have one of these services where we reflect and we look back, but Lord, we also want to look within to say we know that we're sinful people. We don't have to question that, but we also know you've delivered us from that sin. But Lord, sometimes the old self kind of comes out, and we want to grab onto those things that were either addictions or just temptations that we falter to, and sometimes we just make excuses and just say, oh, well, God will forgive me. And Lord, we don't want to cheapen your blood and the price that you paid. We thank you for the artist that made that incredible painting and just reminds us of what you did, and maybe that'll be an image that lasts in our minds as we walk throughout this day. And Lord, I also pray that it'll also be a celebration, that it's one that we not just look back to, but we kind of look forward to the time that maybe next time with Christ, and that you will serve us a different type of supper, one that is a celebration of welcome home. And so, Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you've done and all the gifts that you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you excited? That was good stuff, huh? Love it. I love it. I'm going to ask Jason to come now, give us some announcements that's happening over the next couple weeks. I will say to you that I know for sure we're in need of funnel cake people. people for next Sunday, which is the Warehouse District stuff. And I think Jason's got some information on that, where to sign up and all that good stuff.
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever. You better have some information. I'll put it that way. But it's just a great way to meet people. It's an easy thing to do. And so we loved doing that yesterday. So, Jason. Oh, we also need to continue to pray for Jason. Yesterday was his birthday. As a matter of fact, you all want to sing happy birthday to him? I think we should.
No.
He loves it when he's put on the spot.
Love it.
Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jason Brumbaugh.
If you didn't know my last name.
Yeah, in case there was no one else. Happy birthday to you. There you go. Jason is in the middle of doing his chemo treatments, and so he goes for another one Tuesday.
Tons of fun.
And really loved the last couple of weeks. I mean, it was great. Actually, he really had a bad couple of weeks, so we're hoping that this time, not so much. A couple of days, maybe, and, you know, all that good stuff. So continue to pray for Jason. All right,
thanks
yours.
A lot. I just got a couple announcements. Can we bring up the house lights a little bit? The first one is the bulletin this week is a little bit off, so don't be misled by it. I just want to kind of go through some of the things that are in it just so that you're kind of aware of exactly what we're doing. And the first one is, if you're new to Gateway, this is the first time you've been here, we invite you to come back to the back table. We've got some gift bags for you that have a little bit of information on us, you know, what we're about. And there's some there's some candy, and if you like candy, there's, you know, candy in there too. Just a little bribe to come back. Also, this afternoon, we're going to do baptisms by the lake. Actually, nowhere near the lake. We're going to be doing it at a church. And there's information actually in your bulletin. Nowhere near the lake, right. And then lastly, the Warehouse District Festival is going to be very similar to what we did yesterday. How many people came out yesterday to the Burning River Festival? That was awesome. I mean, if you made funnel cakes, I think that was just a good time overall. So we invite you, if you want to come out and help us with the Warehouse District Festival next Sunday, to sign up at the back table to help us make funnel cakes. We're going to have a booth there, and we're going to sell them. It's going to be a good time. I think yesterday was a good time as well. Oh, okay. How many people know where the blind pig is?
I do.
All right, good. If you don't know where the blind pig is, you can ask my wife in the back, and she will tell you where the blind pig is. The last thing, the funnel cake. Hey, now, it's where we met. The funnel cakes and festivals announcement in the bulletin is completely false. I think it's been crossed out for you, so feel free to ignore that altogether. But again, we would love for you to come out and help us make funnel cakes next Sunday. Again, a great opportunity to get to know people. Anyway, I hope you have a good day, and you're dismissed.